Nice.
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 Nice. Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am the host of your 69th episode, Matt.
And I am Cliff, and the episode before this, 68.5, was totally random and we didn't plan that number at all.
It was not intentional whatsoever. If we weren't ready for this, we were definitely not going to go to episode 68B. It was always going to be episode 69, which I think is pretty nice.
Nice.
All right, are we done with that joke?
Yes.
Okay.
The sex nice. Episode. Let's just throw it out there.
Yes, it's the episode about the sex number.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the funny numbers. God help us if we get to the other one.
If I ever get to if I get to a point where I don't laugh at the number 69, I'm done. Just
yeah.
Pasture, shotgun, I'm done.
I think it's recorded right here. To. Yeah, I'm going to hold on to this.
Can't be mad.
I'm going to get one of those like treasured memory bracelets where they turn the waveform of a sound into jewelry, and it's going to be you admitting that you want to be like, you want a murder done on you if you don't laugh at the funny sex number.
I mean, it's recorded for all time now, so...
Exactly.
As long as we pay our hosting bills, like, this is evidence.
Can't as long murder. As you pay our hosting bills, let's be honest.
Don't worry, I've got some other stuff that's linked to that hosting, it'll get paid.
Okay.
It'll always get paid.
Side benefit.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do an episode. Because it's the funny sex number, we're going to talk about sex in video games.
Let's get the boring shit out of the way first, and then we'll get to the really nasty, weird red light district stuff.
Yeah, let's get through the foreplay before the main event.
Mm-hmm. Just as important.
Exactly. All right, Cliff, what have you been playing, doing, reading, watching, thinking, feeling?
So you say reading, because I told you that I haven't been playing much before this. Yeah. I've been reading a lot. I've been working on the website a lot, so I haven't been playing a lot of games, but I have been reading books. Good. Books are a thing, people. Get on it. Do you remember a while ago I mentioned a series where the author sort of went on about the fact that evolution wasn't a thing, and it was like aliens would come and uplift a race and make them into like a space-faring race? It's
I think so. Series. Let's go with yes.
Yeah. The Uplift series by David Brin. I finished the third book in that. Very, very, very good. Since I finished that, I went online and there's the first trilogy, and there's like kind of a second trilogy, but like it's like a side trilogy. So I ordered all three books instantly online afterwards. So
okay.
They're on their way. Excellent. But I finished Uplift War. That was the third book. Definitely check it out. It's awesome. I'm not going to lie. They're science fiction books. Then the second book I finished, which was a classic, is, you know, when you get a, it's on your list of like embarrassing stuff you've never read or watched or, you know, stuff like that. It's an absolute like nerd icon kind of thing, but you've never got around to it. This is one of them. It's called The Forever War by Joe Haldeman. It's probably pronounced differently, but look, there's a cover.
No idea, because I don't even know what that is. Else,
but for gospel.
Hey, look, it's a cover.
Yeah. It's about a dude who is sort of drafted into the army because he's got a physics degree from university.
Okay.
A war starts with an alien race, and they figure they can't just trust normal grunts in space. So, like, normal dumb people that they could just be like, here, look, cannon fodder, have a gun and run into the other bullets of the enemy. They can't have that because it's in space. They need actual smart people. Mm-hmm. So they bring in a whole bunch of really, really smart people, send them to Pluto or, like, Charon, the other one that's with Pluto, and they train there and they get sent off in the galaxy. Now, the war lasts a while, but the really weird thing that happens in this book is relativity counts. So when they're traveling really, really fast interstellar, for them it's only a few months, but they've actually been in the military for like 20 years.
Okay.
And all their back pay counts with compound interest.
Cool. I would like that.
So that, but what's interesting is as you go along, you realize like they're sort of there, they got this money, and then because they've been away from Earth so long and they've been traveling with relativity effects, they find out they don't really have money anymore. They've got like this other thing that counts as money. And they get to a point where money doesn't exist really at all anyway. They're on a planet where it's a shore leave planet or a hospital planet, and everyone there is a soldier. So everyone's rich. So no one's rich. So nice. There's this really kind of unique thing that goes on from his point of view, where he survives a whole war that's, you know, 1,000 years old. And it's only a few years for him. So it's kind of, it's a really interesting thing. Absolute classic of sci-fi. I understand why it's a classic now I've read it. It's an amazing novel. The dude that wrote it was in Vietnam.
Okay.
So it's a sci-fi kind of retelling of his experience and the stuff he got out of Vietnam, like in terms of like the politics and like how the kind of army works and the military works and stuff. Really, really interesting, but super good. I don't understand why this is not a movie yet or a really great like one season TV show.
Yeah.
You'd make an amazing Netflix show. Definitely get on it. It's really, really good. And the other one that I've just started now that I finished The Forever War is I've started reading The Handmaid's Tale.
I do need to get around to either the book or the TV series of that.
By Margaret Atwood. Yeah, I watched the first sort of 5 or 6 episodes when I unfortunately tore part of the muscle in my leg playing hockey a while ago. And so I had nothing to do. I got a week off from work, and I couldn't really move much because, you know, torn muscle. So I watched like the first 4 or 5 episodes of it, and it is really kind of fucked up and great.
Oh yeah, that's what.
So I thought I'll read the book and then go back to the series. It already is very different straight away. They've kind of adapted it and modernized it a bit, I think.
Okay.
Very interesting to see how many steps. There's a whole episode in the show that goes from how we got from now to crazy cult world.
Yeah.
Where all the women are infertile. Except a very small amount, which are the handmaids. And yeah, not many steps. It's really fucked up. The episode is amazing. So get on it.
That's concerning.
It's super it's at this point, it almost seems that episode is almost like a horror movie kind of feel about it. Not because people are getting carved up or, you know, killed in brutal ways, but the worst part of like horror is the fact that it could happen real soon. Especially in America. For fuck's sake, America. Why you gotta be like this?
Yeah. No, I'll get around to the TV series probably.
That's super good. I recommend both. I haven't read a lot of the book, but it's good.
Okay.
So far. Yeah.
Cool. And that's most of what you've been up to?
Pretty much, yeah.
I have been playing video games. Fun fact, between the previous episode and the one before, when we had that brief gap, I spent like 2.5 months unemployed because I got made redundant, which was not awesome. The silver lining was like, oh, I'll have all this time to catch up on TV shows and games and applying for jobs. And I didn't do that.
But you got buff instead, so who's the real winner?
I did go to the gym a lot, it's true. Because that's a game I can win. I did play a couple games, but not as many as I really should have with the amount of time I had. So I'll just kind of rattle through them quickly based on recently played games on my PlayStation app. Let's see. Oh, no, that's too far because I didn't play that. I absolutely destroyed the end of Assassin's Creed Origins. Like, there's nothing left to do in that game for me anymore. I'm very excited for the next one, which is in like a month. So I'll get onto that, but at least I don't have to rush because they've already said there won't be another Assassin's Creed next year.
Right, okay, so they went from like a bunch of years gap, or a couple of years gap, to bringing out the game, and then a 1 year gap, and then they're going to do another couple of years.
They're at least going to leave a year's gap, yeah. Like they've said there won't be a mainline Assassin's Creed title in 2019. So Odyssey, based in Roman times, will be next, which they've kind of got some overlap with Origins anyway. There was some Roman presence in there, which is, yeah, all right. So I played that. The Ezio Collection on PS4, which I picked up for a steal, which was really good. Extinction, which was this, it was really popular at E3 a couple of years ago. It's like, you're a little soldier man, and you've got like a grappling hook, and you've got to cut down these like 30-foot tall ogres, 30-story tall ogres. See, like, slicing off limbs and stuff. It looked really awesome, but it was priced like a retail game. So I was like, no.
Yeah.
It definitely looked like a high-end arcade, like Xbox arcade game. So I waited till I could get it for cheap, and then I bought it, and then I hated it. The controls were not good, and like you get hit once and you die, and it's not fun. So
they went like the Dark Souls route, completely unforgiving. Kind of.
Yeah, it's just like you get smashed down. It's like, oh, to get all the like points for beating this level, and it has levels. That's another problem. It's like, oh, keep your like 65% of your city from being destroyed by the ogres, and they will like take out a 30% chunk in one swing, and that's really problematic, and I don't like it.
Right. It sounds like a kind of Attack on Titan kind of feel.
Yeah, but not good. Is the problem that I had with it. Also, the really bad fake British accents of the characters were not palatable.
Right now, I'm hearing some of the Fable accents.
Oh, no, I mean,
they're probably the Fable accents are probably legit real accents, but because we're so used to American accents in games, the Fable ones just seemed like caricatures. They felt
very Cockney, yeah. So I put that down, probably forever. another game I picked up on sale, one of those games I'd been waiting to get at dirt cheap, $18, thanks PSN sale. Knack 2, because I don't love myself.
Was that the, that weird PS4, like, launch title sequel game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Knack was... You know what was, I'm talking about, right? Yeah, I do, yeah. Froggy Cliff. It was like just a launch title where you're...
some beer.
So I know. Like, yeah. I know. He's made up with little relics, and you get more relics to make him bigger. They made a sequel. I paid like $20 for it. I haven't finished it. Not because I stopped playing, but because the final level is broken. I load into it, and it's like just a blue screen, broken? And that's it. Yeah, like it's been patched multiple times, yeah. But even after rebooting the game, the system, I load the level, and it's just like blue screen. Okay. Cool. Not amazing. I played Yakuza Kiwami a bit more after reviewing it a few months back. Well, last year? A while ago. The remake of the first Yakuza game. It's good. Like, I'm having fun digging into it. I did that because I also recently reviewed Yakuza Kiwami 2 and realized that I'd never finished Kiwami. So I'm going back to the stories. And it's weird because they're running on different engines. Kiwami 2 was made after the more recent Yakuza 6, so it's on the new Dragon engine they built for that. It looks gorgeous, like neon lights reflecting in puddles, just, oh, good. So going back to Kiwami 1, before they made the switch to the engine, it's just like, oh, it looks like an old Japanese game, a little bit.
Now, are these all the remasters of the originals?
Yeah, so the Kiwami versions are like the remasters ground-up rebuilds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been ported to the PS4 engine and now the PS4 Dragon engine. And they've added new content. Like, Kiwami had Majima everywhere, which is, like, his rival character who had a role in the game, but now he'll, like, pop out of bins to fight you and stuff. Because basically...
I've got this image of Oscar the Grouch just, like, popping up.
Pretty much.
That's pretty funny.
Because, yeah, Yakuza 0, the prequel they did, you had three fighting styles, which weren't part of the original games. So you get out of prison at the start of Yakuza Kiwami, Yakuza 1, which is how the story starts. And they added a thing where it's like, oh, you've forgotten his dragon fighting style, which was his default fighting style. So you can still do your brawling and your other cool stuff from 0. But to earn back the skills for your main fight style, you have to repeatedly fight Majima to, like... learn how to fight again. He's all like, I'm gonna fight you until you're back to being your real self, and then I'll defeat you, and then it'll be a victory worth crowing about. So he runs around like dressing up as police officers and popping out of manholes, and at one point you can go into a photo booth and he doesn't fight you, but he just sticks his head in the side of the photo and like photo bombs, and you just get experience for that. It's weird.
There's a bunch of great GIFs on the net from various movies and TV shows where people just pop their head in.
And yeah.
Again, so good. I've got that like in my mind.
It's pretty much that, yeah. So they had that mode in Kiwami. Kiwami 2 has like a side story about Majima, because between Yakuza 1 and 2, he went from being a member of the Tojo clan to running a legitimate construction company.
Sold out, man.
Yeah. Used to be cool. So they found a way to story that, because everyone loves Majima because he's a nutbag. So I've been playing a bunch of that. And lastly, We Happy Few, which I mentioned last episode. Drugs and infiltrating societies and...
illegal government issue drugs that everyone's supposed to take.
Have you taken your joy? Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Like, I'm hoping it gets patched more. Like, yeah, it's good. That's what I've been playing. The end.
Sexy times. Let's talk about
sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that we've played.
We are children of a different era. Knowing that song.
Oh, God. Side note, I spoke to a friend here in Melbourne recently, and he didn't know what GeoCities was.
For shame.
Anyone who's listening who doesn't know what GeoCities is, please unsubscribe.
Or Lycos, or Angel Fire. Like, take your pick.
Yes, exactly. He made a valiant guess. He wondered if it was like a type of geocaching. I'm like, I can see where you'd go for that. But no, it's where the NSYNC fan pages lived.
I mean, it's where the fan pages for everything lived.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyway, that's not about sex, and that's not sexy. So,
and anything that's not about sex is boring.
So just Cliff, tell me about video game sex.
Retroactively, just go back to the very start of the podcast. Don't listen to it and skip to now.
Yeah.
Because sexy times.
Yeah. Cliff, tell me about sex.
Well, when a mummy and a daddy love each other very much.
Heteronormative, I hate it.
Hey, that was the year 5 PD book that Where Do I Come From book came. Hey, to be fair, Where Do I Come From? Procreation, that's a man and a woman. Well, from a genetic sperm and ova point of view.
Okay.
Hey, we're in a different world now, baby.
It's true. You're calling me baby a lot, and I'm not sure how I feel about
When a mummy and a mummy love each other, or a daddy and a daddy love each other, they either are a surrogate or get a surrogate with a donor. It's a very convoluted system now.
This makes total sense. But, yeah, it's fine.
It works.
Anyway, video games.
Yes. All right, so sex. What is your first memory of sex in video games? Go.
Ooh.
Here we cut out the dead air while he thinks about it.
I think like the legitimate sexy sex moment, the first one I remember in video games would probably be Mass Effect 1.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know, there's romance plots and kisses and that, but like sex in a video game, I'd say it would have been Mass Effect.
What about anything to do with sex in a video game?
I mean, I came up on a lot of Japanese RPGs, so...
All right, yeah. That's pretty fair. We'll talk about Japanese RPGs later.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VII, Honey Bean.
That is a great scene. I'm really interested to see if we ever get it in the Final Fantasy VII, like, remaster, remake, whatever Squeenix is now doing with it.
It's literally the only part of the game that I care about seeing. yeah, so... Mass Effect...
Do you not want that either?
I mean, yes. Okay, I have two things I care about. yeah, so Mass Effect sexy sex was the first thing I remember. But like sexual tones, they've been there in a lot of games.
Like a lot. Especially if you go back now. Like as a kid, you don't pick up on them. But if you play an old game now, holy shit.
Yeah, I never played a Leisure Suit Larry.
See, that was one of my knowledge.
But yeah, I'd
never
say
any
that would be...
actual sex in it. But I mean, that game's all about having sex with people. So
you got to see the bobbies.
Had to go around collecting condoms and stuff, so you could have sex with people.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know they're releasing another one? Like, there's a new Leisure Suit Larry game coming out this year. It still exists.
I mean, I've played a few of them over the years, and I don't understand. Why people love them so much?
Yeah,
like, they're like good, they're pretty funny in places. But I'd much rather, if I was going to play an old like adventure game like that, because they're all point and click adventures for people that don't know, like the old ones.
Yeah.
I'd much rather play a proper point and click adventure game, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
Like one of my favorite game of all time is a point and click adventure game. So The Dig. if you didn't really listen to the podcast, know that I love that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would rather play a good one rather than let's shoot Larry. But you know, whatever. Maybe I just it wasn't the right time in my life. Maybe if I played it now, I would think it's hilarious or whatever.
Maybe, I hope not.
Mm.
I really hope not.
But I want to go back to it's a game I never played myself, but I learned about later in life, and it's an old like Atari or some shit game from way back when.
I think I know what you're going to talk about because it literally just popped into my head.
If it's Custer's Revenge?
Yep.
Yep. Right. So you fuck American Native American ladies up against cactuses. And that's the game.
Yeah. I mean, this game is problematic on multiple levels.
Oh, let's not get there's a whole other debate. Like you can write essays and all kinds of like theses have been written on this shit. But
a native woman tied to a cactus.
You know, two people fuck up against a cactus. You fuck while
people are shooting arrows at you, because clearly you're not meant to be doing it.
Mm-hmm. This isn't like a Romeo and Juliet, like, oh, kind of moment. This is like, no, this is bad.
This is the other kind of, oh, it's like, oh.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Not ideal.
Yeah. But okay. I guess product of its time, all that kind of bullshit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I played that. Doesn't excuse
it, but like, it sets it in a context. So...
I played that on an Atari emulator on the
why
school computers.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, school
in my computing class.
Yeah.
Instead of learning Visual Basic.
You should have learned Visual Basic. I mean, way more.
We got there eventually. Yeah. It was really easy. Like we needed to play some horrible racist bullshit in between. I guess.
See, when I remember playing games on like Commodore 64 in school, it was Granny's Garden and stuff like that, and. Some island game where you were like a Zumbinis? Lost adventure. No, I think it was that. It was this other game. Anyway, but that's the first game that I know about that was like a sex game. Over the years, of course, you hear from friends, reliable or otherwise, of various games. I remember hearing of a game where it was like really horrible pixel art games where you can do all kinds of various sex stuff, hand jobs, blow jobs, that kind of junk, in various games. But the first time I really sort of saw anything, I guess, was in... I played a lot of Duke Nukem 3D back in the day.
Okay,
yeah. You can download multiple maps and stuff for it. And, of course, the normal Duke Nukem 3D, Atomic Edition, you have the stripper ladies in the strip clubs because, for some reason, the aliens invade strip clubs.
Yep.
Cool if you're, like, a hetero, like, teenage boy, and you can, like, pay the money, make him dance.
See the pixel bobs.
You know, with the tassels, and they...
Ooh. Yep.
And if you kill them, that spawns aliens, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. But there was you could download a whole bunch of maps for that, and I even tried to make a couple of maps myself, but it was quite complex for my age at the time. But anyway, I downloaded a map, and it had, I guess what I would describe as GIFs in it? Porn GIFs were in it.
Okay.
Yeah, so like, do you remember in some of the levels you could go to like, you were in a theatre, and you hit the button, or the curtains would open, and there'd be like
the peep really, shows, yeah.
Yeah, there'd be that kind of shit. There was like a bunch of theaters. In hindsight, it was actually more like a adult theater with a bunch of porn playing on it, and there were like GIFs that would go for like a second, maybe, because this is the 90s. So, like, proper, you know, resolution and length of like shit just didn't exist because the internet was shit.
Exactly.
And you could download it, and there was stuff on it, and I remember, I didn't know it at the time, but. There was a song, an MP3 that was with it the whole time, or a WAV file at the time. And it was like a loop of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
In it. And which, like, again, I didn't know until later on, and I really love Nine Inch Nails now. But if anyone doesn't know the song Closer, it features some very famous lyrics, I want to fuck you like an animal. As well as a bunch of other stuff. And so, like, that, you know, that sticks in your head. When you haven't really seen or been exposed to this kind of stuff. And that was one of my first experiences of like hardcore porn in a game. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And nice. That was what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Like, there's been a lot of these games. A lot of them, I think there was like an explosion of it in the 80s when everything was kind of non-controlled, and then it got a bit more subtle, give or take a Duke Nukem in the 90s.
I mean, there was a lot of... The great thing about Duke Nukem is it was a parody of, like, the stupid, like, the ultra-macho bullshit.
Back then it was, yeah.
We could talk about Duke Nukem to the cows come home, basically. But it was a very specific time period, and that sets the context for like what it was. And it worked then. And then we got Duke Nukem Forever. It doesn't really translate to now. You have to get it like pitch perfect, and that it wasn't pitch perfect. It's very tough to do the Duke character now. You have to be very careful about how you do it.
So I can't really remember like old school any games that I played. Like, you know, everyone heard about the Tomb Raider nude cheat and that kind of stuff. Never happened. Never existed. Love them
triangle boobs.
Gotta love them tri-boobies.
Mm-hmm.
So like the more modern age with like RPGs having sexual content or Japanese RPGs being Japanese RPGs was more where my sex experience with video games comes from.
I mean, there was also, I remember back in the PlayStation days when I had played in like the sort of late 90s. You know, I got my first PlayStation in like 98, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And then there was the Dead or Alive series with boob physics.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have boobs without physics?
Exactly. That's even the point. It's the only instance of physics in the entire game. But
let's have exaggerated boobs in exaggerated physics. Go.
Yes. I remember, what was it, like, Blood Fury or Fatal Omen or something on GameCube. I remember playing it at a friend's house, and it was notable because every time you selected one of the female characters from the menu and it sort of zoomed into a portrait shot of them, apparently their breasts did not enjoy it because they tried to escape very energetically and generally by going directly upwards. Didn't work. They were stuck there.
Those poor, poor boobs.
Those poor bobs. So I just remember picking romances in games mainly as my experience of sex, because I have played some of the more erotic end of the spectrum. There are games such as...
I've got a few.
Okay.
They're out there. So throw out some names, and I'll let you know if we'll talk about it later.
I'm guessing there probably won't be a lot of an overlap.
We have very different demographics, I guess.
We do. Coming out on top
is
like a visual novel kind of game. Basically, you play as this college student who's just come out to his housemates at the start of the game. And you get like five different dudes that you can pursue. And eventually get to like the, you know, the big pretty art, the sexy art. The game was interesting because it also had toggles for all of the bachelors individually. You could turn on or off beards or body hair, depending on your personal preferences, which I thought was a nice little touch. It's just like a layer swap when you see the nude image, I guess. The best part of the game, though, was there was a secret ending, which you could get very early in the game, where instead of going out to meet any boys, you stay home with your pet goldfish, and then you have a sex dream about fucking the goldfish. But it's like a human-sized goldfish, and it's very odd art.
I mean, I've seen manga. There are like captions of manga that,
A friend of mine posted it on Facebook once and got banned for a week. Sorry. So coming out on top was just like a little indie game. It's kind of funny. It's short. Like,
I mean, let's face it, big AAA developers do not develop sex games. Indie developers do. Which means they're both awesome and shit at the same time.
Yeah. You definitely get a level of sexual content outside of that in the mainstream. I think... Yeah, BioWare have been a big proponent of those kind of things. Just, hey, you talk to this person six times, now you can watch their like character models kind of bump and grind. And
it's so fucked up.
Never kiss because it's hard to animate.
It's so fucked up that it's considered like a massive move forward in terms of, I guess, like adult relationships in video games, where all you need to do is talk to someone and say the right thing six times in a row, and then you're in.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it. That's definitely how life works. You talk to all of the people until you find the last answer you have to give them so that they will do a fuck on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick which one you want, because the others will automatically stop liking you once you have...
Depending on the game, they might not. You can perform sex to everyone.
That is my preference. Like, just pursue all the storylines.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with video games. Like, you have to. If you're given the option to do something, you have to do it. You can't not do it. If you're completionist, like perfectionist, you have to fuck everyone.
This is... Yep, that's how I'm playing Stardew Valley, that's for sure.
And achievements, fuck you for capitalizing on that bullshit.
Yes, I remember Mass Effect 1 had achievements for participating in like 3 different romances, which basically meant you had to replay because you couldn't get 3 in a single playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just rude. And what if whichever one was my true love and I didn't want to cheat on them, but I did want those gamer scores?
They should just call those achievements. Statistically, you have an X percentage chance of having an STI now.
Yeah. A space STI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, more aliens to fuck, more STIs to catch.
That's the spirit. Now you talk about a game.
All right, so I did a quick... I've encountered various games over the years that have sex and stuff like that. Mass Effect, Dragon Age, that kind of stuff where you can pursue relationships. I fucked up the relationship in Dragon Age. I wanted to have sex with... I want to say Claudia Black...
Morrigan.
Yes. And then chose the wrong option, like an idiot. And, well, yeah, then they've materialized. Very sad. But then there's other games that are very dedicated to sex. So I literally did a Google search of list of sex games.
Nice.
Yeah. Let me read out some titles here of the top 10. Wait.
Not the top 69?
No, that, I mean, we don't have time for that.
Okay.
But here,
before you start, can I just say the name of 2 Leisure Suit Larry games that I Googled to see what they were called, and they're awful?
Magna Cum Laude?
No, not that one. Leisure Suit Larry goes looking for love in several wrong places. Gross.
At the back and of the Volkswagen.
Leisure Suit Larry 3, Passionate Patty in Pursuit of the Pulsating Pectorals.
I mean, you got to give the alliteration on that one.
That's I'll quality. Allow the alliteration, but... Ugh. Okay, do the thing now.
All right, here we go. Here's the top X number that I haven't counted. 3D Sex Villa 2.
Sex Villa?
Yeah, I've played that. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Red Light Center.
Yep, sure.
Red Light, same thing. 3D X Chat. It's got an X in there. Okay. Must be adult.
Yeah, and it's 3D, so...
Chat House 3D.
I'm noticing a theme.
Well, I mean, Chat House doesn't really...
We've got chat, domiciles, and 3D.
Hey, someone's grandma somewhere could be like, oh, I live in a house, I want to chat. Nope.
I want to talk to Doris.
I don't think anyone in that game is named Doris.
Oh, that's a pity.
Hentai 3D 2. Can't really mistake that one. Why is it so important that
they're 3D?
Well, they're modern games. I guess they are actually in 3D.
Okay, yeah.
We'll talk about this. I've got.
I really enjoyed playing Mass Effect 2 3D.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite modern video game.
I mean, we'll talk more about this. There's a specific company that makes a bunch of these. We'll talk about that. A-Chat.
Sure.
Could be fucking anything, really. Yeah. I'm assuming adult chat.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
There's not many other A words I can think of. And, you know... Ain't I aren't very talkative. That is the plural, correct? Ain't I?
Sure, why not?
Excellent, next one, move on.
This next one, I feel like they missed out on a great pun. It's called Girlvania. But I feel like they should have called it Girl Vagina.
Is it a Castlevania knockoff?
I mean, I'm seeing the screenshot here and it does not look like a Castlevania screenshot.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
This next one's great. Bonetown, one word.
Capital I love T. It. Okay, Bonetown.
You know what you're getting there. There's no skeletons here, people.
Nice. Nah. I'm going to say that's from the 90s, because that kind of multi-capitalization in a single word was very 90s. Maybe early 2000s.
I'm just reading some of that, like, because it's got they're in a list, and it's a short description. This one has... Due to its complex GTA-like gameplay,
Okay. Is it GTA?
It is not. I'll just send you the page so you can see the screenshots for these games. The next GTA. One is Virtual Hottie 2.
Okay. GTA, good titty access. I really don't want to click this link. This is going to affect my Google Analytics.
Google already knows you're a deviant, surely.
Yeah. Oh, wow. These screenshots are just bad.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Galvania, man. There's no... Been some words on that one. You know exactly what you're getting.
I mean, he is exploring, but it's not a castle. Not Dracula's castle.
He's exploring that the final frontier.
For sure and certain.
And after Virtual Hottie 2, ridiculous and awesome name, of course. This one is called Sociolotron.
Sociolotron?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It looks the thing like I'm noticing about a lot of these games thing. Is that they're not good.
No. There's another game on here as well, a game that I have actually played.
God.
I mean, every boy has been a teenage boy at some point. So no matter what your preference, you've done the trawling the internet for various sex shit. It's called Sexy Beach.
Sexy Beach, okay.
It is a Japanese RPG.
Of course it is.
A dating simulator.
Yep. Tracks.
Mm-hmm. You don't just date.
I imagine not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I scrolled to page 3 of this list and I found the best game name.
Oh yes, oh, hold on, let me scroll there first.
Can you guess which one it is?
Is it the Clifford. First one?
What is the name of the first game?
Is Play Sex Game.
Yes. It is Play amazing. Sex Game. Like, literally, someone took the time to program, design, and build a game for a given value of game. And then was just like, I need to name it. I don't know. Play about, sex game.
What about this game? This is clearly an intellectual game for intellectuals.
Yeah.
Love Chess Salvage. Salvage. Not Savage. Love
Chess Salvage. Salvage.
Yeah. I don't know what the Salvage bit is. It would make more sense if it was Savage in chess. Because you're taking pieces and killing people. I don't know.
I need to stop scrolling down this list because the character models on display, while lovingly rendered, are not like anatomically 3D correct. 3D
plaything.
Yeah, could be a that's teddy the bear. One I'm looking at. That looks like it could be a screenshot from a really erotic version of Final Fantasy VII.
There's more. Love Chess, Age of Egypt.
You know, for more chess.
Egyptian sex chess. The reason
you play that.
Mm-hmm. Play with a Mansion. I actually know of this game. And apparently it's a pretty decent kind of empire management game. You know, like, like theme hospital stuff. You have to actually manage it, the magazine. Apparently it's actually okay.
I refuse to believe it. Also, there's a game called Sex Station 7.
Why would you not call it Sex Station 69?
Exactly. There's a picture of a man butt in it, though, so that's kind of cool.
Sex Stallion 7. There's man butt, yeah.
Yeah. So this is deeply depressing.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've played a couple of these because, you know, teenage boy, whatever. They're not good. Just flat out, they're not good. In the Sexy Beach, you basically can date any one of a choice of girls. Like, anime girls, basically. Ridiculously large breasts.
What?
That's about it. Some of them have, fun coloured hair, like blue hair.
So exotic.
Which, I mean, blue hair is, you know, is cool, but...
Yeah.
I mean, not exactly unique, I suppose. You basically just date a girl, and if she appreciates the date you took her on, there's, like, multiple levels, and you can take the girl on. If you take the girl to the right date, she appreciates it more, that kind of bullshit.
Right.
You can massage them, and then other stuff, too.
Ooh.
But 3D Sex Villa 2... The company that makes it is called, let me bring it up here, Thrill X. Three X's.
Okay.
Just to make sure that you know it's an adult game. Triple X. Yep. They make a bunch of these. They also make, I think, the Hentai 3D 2 game. I think their titles are very kind of uniform.
Yeah, I'm noticing a lot of themes here.
In that one, you can set up scenarios in different levels with the girl of your choice, the I think the guy of your choice maybe in some of them. Ooh, as well. Aggressive. Some of them you can choose two girls, but it's mostly hetero stuff, because let's face it, I mean, the history of homosexual stuff is not a particularly happy and nice one overall. But yeah, you can like full set up scenes and sequences and use various things on various bad 3D models. And there's a meter to let you know how much the girl's enjoying it. Yeah.
Cliff, this episode's depressing me now.
Let me just read you a review from 3D Sex Villa 2. A review by Brains. Brans?
Okay.
B-R-A-N-E-S. 2010.
Brains?
I've been playing the Thrillex game since the first 3D slut game. Apparently there's a game called 3D Slut.
Oh.
Apparently they consistently push the envelope when it comes to 3D and virtual sex animation.
In 2010, yeah. The Wild West of fuck games, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one review. 10 out of 10.
Okay, well that's good. An objective review, I'm sure.
The game was also reviewed by Caesar. We gave it a 7 out of 10.
A real stab in the back.
He did say it was the far and away the... And I quote, "While this game is far and away the best game on the market today, it's far from perfect."
That's a sad indictment of the porn game industry.
Mm. I'm now sad too.
Yeah. You know what'll make you happier?
Oh?
I forgot one of the games that I've been playing at the start of the episode. I played Donut County and it's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out like yesterday. And I got it for iPad because I could play it immediately rather than being on PS4. And it's not available on Switch, which is a little bit of a bummer.
I've still got the tab open from 3D Sex Villa 2.
Oh, God.
Cliff. And I just happened to look at this line. You can fuck around in the quick mode, the free fuck mode, or even the story mode. There's a story mode, apparently.
Oh no, I want to play it. I want to play it, but I'm afraid.
There was a content update in 2013. The Sento Communal Bath update.
Well, I'm definitely going to get that game and play it. You know what game
had a communal bath? Final Fantasy VII.
This is true. We didn't circle back to that.
No.
Oh, Honeybee Inn.
That is one of the weirdest sequences in Final Fantasy VII. And at the same time, that's saying something, because Final Fantasy VII gets some weird shit in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But seeing, like, a men's sauna, and I'm pretty sure there was some BDSM in there, and some age play, and cross-dressing, obviously.
Mm-hmm. To varying degrees, depending on how much of a completionist you are, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, I made sure he was always the belle of the ball. Thank you very much. Got picked
by whatever
Don,
his...
Don something?
Yeah, bad guy of the slums that no one gave a shit about it as soon as you left the slums.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don plot device.
Yeah.
But yeah, Donut County, it's really good. I finished it. It's only short. It was like $8 on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fun. It's very pretty. There's cute text, like a little story to carry you through it. But the thing I noticed at the end of the game is every time you have a new object fall into the hole, it gets added to your Trashopedia.
Are we not talking about sex again?
No. Every object that falls into the hole, Cliff, is recorded lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he thinks everything is trash.
I thought we were talking about sex again.
Well, then it's a good thing that the example I'm going to make now of one of the objects that fall into the hole that you get a record for is a snake. It's called Cool Snake, and the description was an alive spaghetti with the ability to hate. I think I broke Cliff.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Cool Snake.
Yeah. I laughed for a bit there.
Yeah. There was also, like, I haven't read through all of them because they're so amazing, but one of them was like a small trash can. It's like a big teacup for dirt. It's like, okay, cool.
I mean, I'm just going to, like, everything you say now is just an innuendo.
Yeah.
Mm. I regret nothing.
This episode was a mistake. Is it done? Are we done?
I think we're done.
Have we finished? Have we talked about orb sex? I could spend all
day reading the shit that I've seen on this this review for 3D Sex Ability.
God.
Long-term stimulation guaranteed.
No, this episode is done now. All I wanted to say was there need to be more compelling gay relationships in RPGs especially that aren't so tokenistic, but also for everyone else. And it made me sad that Cyberpunk 27 revealed gameplay like overnight and they showed the character creator and it's a gender binary, which is, it's the future. Like, it's all about body mod. Come on, have a slider. Saints Row had a slider. Saints Row.
If it's American future though, handmade sale?
Yeah, maybe.
It seems like you got some better clothing options. America's going to be like in 50 years.
God knows. Anyway, I think the episode's over now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird, fucked up sex shit out there in terms of gaming people.
But also some of it is positive and good. Actually, there's a good example of a positive sex game, a sex board game that I played recently that I kickstarted.
Is it, I'm bored with this game, let's have sex?
No. It's called Consenticle.
Oh, I know of this game, yeah.
Yeah, it's a two-player game. One person plays a human, one person plays an alien, and you're trying to navigate a consensual and enjoyable mutual sexual experience. So you have different cards, and you've got to try and match them to get combos and stuff, and then it tallies up points. Like, each person has their own satisfaction. You combine them for pleasure tokens, and then count up at the end to see what the experience was like for each of you. And it's good, but the art is terrifying. I really like they had variations of the different gameplay, like one where you just communicate back and forth, one where you can't say the name of the card, one where you can't speak at all, so it's all nonverbal communication. So when you're trying to say, I need to match lick with touch, you can see how this kind of pantomime is going to go. It was a fun game and I enjoyed that they had like an expansion version with kink cards and there was things like aftercare in there, which is a positive thing to teach about sex. Yeah. I just thought it was a nice, like, for a game that's about like a tentacle alien having sex with a human woman, it was surprisingly wholesome and sweet.
If you want to read a book about tentacle aliens and having sex with a human woman, you can actually read a series by Octavia Butler.
I was going to say a series penned by Cliff Phillips.
No. I didn't write the shit. By Octavia Butler. It's the Dawn, or there's one book called Dawn. I lent the first book out to a friend. Never got it back. Fucking hate that. But she wrote a series about a race of aliens that kind of comes down. They have like a third sex in their thing.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah, and they end up once you've had. There's like an intermediary. And they're the ones that control, like, what DNA gets passed to offspring.
Okay.
It's this really weird kind of situation. Anyway, after having kind of what they call sex with this intermediary creature, you pretty much hate the touch of other people because it's all like a mental sex thing.
So right.
You don't... Physical contact kind of repulses you after doing it. Right. And you kind of crave the mental... So you have, like, a weird, like, sex voyage, like hallucination voyage when you do it. So awesome, but yeah, you can't really touch people in reality like that. But has tentacles, has aliens, has women. Men too.
There you go. Everything's covered.
And neither creatures, if that makes
Neither's.
Sense.
Neither's, yes.
They're not men, not women, they're neither.
Awesome.
Mm. Cool series. Very good books.
So thanks for listening to The Indoorsman, your... podcast guide to the great indoor video game sex travesty.
The next episode will not be about as much sex. Possibly?
I mean, you never know. It might turn out that this was our thing and all of the episodes are going to be this.
We'll just go through that list and we'll just talk in depth about all of the games on it.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about R18 games for the 18th episode and it was also just as depressing? We should stop doing this.
There's a long history of just, I guess, really... They're just thinly veiled sex games.
Yeah, and not that thinly sometimes.
Because of, like, history, they cater to a very specific demographic. Not much outside that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all changing, man. It's all changing. We'll get more. If the internet's taught us anything, everyone collects and gathers in their weird little, like groups. And they all love that shit, and they're all dedicated to it. So people, of course, as more people meet, they'll make more random shit.
Cliff, tell me about the theme music.
It's pretty good.
Cool.
It reminds me of old school, like, Game Boy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tetris 2. Love that game. But it's not that. I like track C on Tetris 2. Track C was good.
About Tetris.
But our theme music, even though it reminds us of that stuff, is actually called Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy. It's by Rocco W. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Made, I don't know when it was made, but recently, I assume, in that style. At least a few years ago.
You should look it up on the internet, on Bandcamp and stuff. It's good.
Just Google Fuck Sunshine Compression on Game Boy or Rocker W. You'll find it. It's good.
It's very relevant to this episode because it has the word fuck in it. If you want to look us up on the internet, you can do that. Our website address does not have the word fuck in it. It is indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook or at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter and Instagram. So go to those places if you want to talk to us. Please tell us about the worst sex game you've ever experienced, because I hate it, but I must know.
I mean, like, we must know.
I need to know.
It's like a train wreck. I can't look away.
It's why I played Knack 2.
Seriously, we must know.
Mm.
Send it to us.
Say the next thing!
I was seeing how far I could draw that out before you got, like, really uncomfortable with it.
Oh, my God.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so in a variety of ways. One way is, well, not me, but you can contact Matt or us, I guess, which is just Matt as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And Twitter, me at Cliff and Monkey. I would actually be surprised if anyone tweeted at me.
I don't even tweet at you.
No, you don't.
I know better.
If anyone actually tweeted at me, I'd probably be so surprised that I might tweet back. It might just be like fuck off, I don't use Twitter. But challenge hey, I'll tweet accepted. Back. Or at Ponk if you want to actually get someone that will give you a proper conversational back and forth as best you can on Twitter anyway. Or what's our Twitter for Indoorsman?
IndoorsmanPod.
Sweet. All right.
I already said that one.
There you go. Or if you want to email us, that's something I actually probably would reply to, is contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
No, it is. I was testing you. We'd also love it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes or your podcast medium of choice. Remind them that we're alive, because maybe they forgot. And whose fault is that? Apple, it's us. It's our fault.
No, sorry. It's life's fault.
Fucking life. Yeah. Do that thing.
We're back.
Baby. Mm-hmm. And now we're gone, because the episode's over.
Do I have to say anything more?
Well, who am I?
I know, some guy that pops up my computer every now and then.
For now, I've been Matt and he's been Cliff, and as always, we'll send you off by saying...
Nice.
Nice. 69 is funny!
Always funny. Never, ever not funny.
It's funny because it's the sex thing. All right, we're done. I'm gone. I'm stopping the fucking recording. I hate this. Why did we do this? Why did we wait 3 months to do this?